So I'm going to talk a little about App Harbor and how to deploying ASP.NET MVC applications with no effort. Until recently, we had only been left with these two choices in .NET, where we had to copy our files via FTP or a web deploy, which is also great, but I'm going to show you a little bit of a different approach to deploying. So what is this all about? I'm going to tell you who I am and what App Harbor is, and then I'm going to head on to a lot of code samples live and hopefully without errors and system crashes. So I'm Troels. This is a hard to pronounce Danish name, and to make it more difficult, I've made an even harder to pronounce Twitter handle. But you can follow me and App Harbor if you're interested in seeing what we're up to. And I'm one of the App Harbor founders. I've been doing App Harbor for since September, and it's great, and we're working full time on it and hopefully bringing some cool to .NET. So what is App Harbor? App Harbor is a Y Combinator-funded startup, and we are doing Heroku for .NET, or what we like to call Azure Done Right, which is kind of a bold statement, but it gets the headlines. We are, as so many others, we're doing a platform as a service, and we have a single product, which is hosting, and a simple focus, which is convenience for developers. We're all developers ourselves, and we like convenience, and we like deploying frictionless and without hassles. So when I say it's hosting, it is actually a little more than just hosting. We do what we're calling continuous deployment, and this is something a lot of other guys are doing for .NET as we speak. So hopefully there'll be a lot of options for deploying within a few months. Continuous deployment is like cloud-enabled continuous integration. So what you do is you push your source code. We use Git currently, but we are going to offer Mercurial support and hopefully other version control systems down the road. And then we receive the code, we build it on our servers, we pre-install some libraries so you don't have to add them to your repository. After that, we run your unit tests, and if both these tasks are successful, we deploy the code to the servers and we scale it up if necessary. So to emphasize that, what we do is we make it easy to release early and release often, and we make it easy to be a lean startup. This new buzzword about how you should just be able to deploy a change and see how it will affect the environment and if your users will like it. So the first thing I'm going to show is how to install Git on Windows, because a lot of people tells me that using Git is so difficult, and it's a hassle to set up, and it's not really true anymore. It used to be, but today it's very convenient actually. So I've downloaded it already. That shouldn't be much more difficult than installing. So it's basically just a basic install where you have to click next a couple of times. So this is an important option you have to make. You have to run Git from the Windows command prompt, because then you can use your ordinary command prompt, and you can use PowerShell and whatever tool you like to use. So that's quite important, but it's also default. And this is actually the biggest hassle, because no one agrees on what these should be. So we will probably end up setting a repository setting each time. So just go with the default. And then it's installing. So it's really simple, and of course many people like to use a GUI or Tortoise Git or Git extensions, which is a great Visual Studio plugin. So go ahead and try for yourself, and it's easy to get started and people friendly if you need anything. So let's just move along. So to the cloud, I'm going to create a new MVC template project and trying to deploy it, and we'll see if it fails and if it goes right, but hopefully it works. So let's set up a new. There's no pre-prepared code for this, because I want to show you really how easy it is. So, and I hope it will be easy. I see someone tweeting about the line ending convention already. I actually like it to convert to the Linux default because I'm using Mac as well, so it's more convenient for me. But yeah, I guess for a lot of people it will make sense to use the Windows line endings for everything. So also CILF should be false. Let's say it's a new project. Just this. Oops, let's copy this part. So let's say web. And yeah, let's just go with an M2 project so we don't get the account control on stuff. So this is our basic project, and it doesn't have any controls view. Let's try to create a repository from here and see how it goes. We take start up the Git bash. I actually think learning Git is a great advantage if you like it as your version control system, because you can do so much more than that you can do in a GUI, and it will make you understand what happens behind the scenes. So it's worth it. Set up a repository. We create a git ignore. This is to avoid our binary objects and stuff to show up in the repository. It's not strictly necessary, but it's more convenient because yeah, it's the repository is lighter and you don't have to transfer it. So let's add all the files. And now we see the line ending issue which I told you about. So let's create the first commit. And that's it. Now we got a repository with a single commit. We can just write git k to view the history. So it says initial commit, and we can see the tree and all the files are added. So great stuff. Let's go to the App Harbor site and create a new application. Create a new one. Let's call it mvc-conf example. And then it tells me some on-screen directions to how to get started and what to do. I can just copy and paste the lines from here and insert it. And if you're used to using the command prompt, you know that you have to enable it first and allow edit and copy and paste. So but I've done it already, so I can just right-click. And let's try to push to App Harbor master, which is also says as its side. I'll have to type in my password because this is one of the other hassles with Git in Windows. You don't need the SSH keys with App Harbor, but if you do, you'll have to set that up separately. Let's hope it works today. Oh, I got the wrong password. That should be it. So it's transferring all the objects to the App Harbor server. And what we can see now is that the build is queued, and it tells us an URL of the status page. Since we got it open in our browser, we can just go and refresh. Oops. So it's already received and deployed. So 8 seconds from the server received the code to what is deployed. We shouldn't be able to see anything because we didn't add a controller, but we can just see that there's a site answering and so there's a 404. So let's try add a controller. I don't know why I always use that class, but yeah, that's key what I'm used to. So So we made an index action which should just return an as a string, and let's make sure we saved it. Let's go to the git bash, git add, which stages the change, and let's commit it. Add index action. Oh, I forgot to set up my user and my email, but it doesn't matter. So let's just push it to App Harbor again. And this is the great thing about Git, because Git only pushes the changes since the last commit. So you don't have to transfer all the binaries each time you have to deploy a site. You just have to transfer one or two source lines which are changed. So we got a new build, and let's go to the status page and view what's happened. And once again, it succeeded. So this is a lucky day, and only in 6 seconds. So let's try to refresh. And hello, MVCconf. So that's the basics of the App Harbor. I'm going to show a little bit of the extra and the nice features you can use when you have deployed your first app. So yeah, the next thing is using environments, because to be honest, no one of like us in the App Harbor team likes the XML configuration files, and even less the transformation files. So we've taken a slightly different approach, which is more equal to what Ruby has and what Heroku uses. So the thing we do is that if you take your web config file and you then add a key, which is called environment, we'll change that setting once we deploy the site. So I can write debug now, and when it gets deployed, we'll automatically change it to release. And the way you can do that is, we can add in the configuration value and show that instead. So let's try to do that. And let's say environment. So if I launch it on my local machine, should be able to see it says debug. Yeah, it does. So let's try to deploy that change. So let's check it out. Oh, it's not deployed yet. Now it is. Great. So at the online side again, it says release. So the great thing about this is that you don't have to use the XML configuration. You can just, if we go to our code, we just make a switch statement which does something about it. You could change the connection string, or you could use another dependency injection toolkit or something. Let me show you an example I made to demonstrate how this could be done. It's quite slow today. So yeah, here's another pre-made example which has the environment key set to debug, and then I've made a structure map dependency resolver which we like to use for our App Harbor code. And then in the container, I've made a method which is called get registry that uses the environment name to define the best match registry. So what we can do now is that I can just make a a new small class is made on top of here because computers are slow today. So if we add an interface called iFoo, and then create two implementations of the iFoo, one called debug foo, and one called release foo. So the thing is that in these registries, I can just go and set up and say, for my debug environment, I'd like to use, oops, for iFoo, use debug foo. So this is just basic dependency injection and how that works. But I think it's a good thing because it's provide more flexibility than just using the configuration files. And what we like to do as well is we have an SMTP client, which we then wrap, and in our test environment and debug environment, we make sure that no emails goes out except if the recipient address ends with appharbor.com. So, and I'm going to make all these examples available at our GitHub repositories at some point. So this is now we should use the release foo in the release environment and the debug foo in the debug environment. So let's just make some simple constructor injection in our home controller. And once again, let's use return content and let's see what the actual type injected is. So you, those of you who are already familiar with dependency injections, this is pretty basic, but yeah. So it's a debug foo, and let's again take our git bash and try to commit the changes. Oops, we got the admin first. And then we go to app parts, create a new site. So used to using my Mac for half of these tasks, so it's pretty difficult to do it all in Windows without errors. And so let's try to see if we can catch it early this time. So right now it says queued because it has been built yet. It has now, and it should be deployed too. So there it is. And let's take a new tab and release foo it is. So yeah, you can use this to inject your different repositories. You could use this SQLite in your test environment, whereas you use a SQL server in your production environment. So I think this is pretty cool and a great feature. So the next thing I'm going to show is how we also run your unit test. The great thing about continuous integration is that it takes a burden off the developer because you can rely, you can trust the system and trust if you get a solid feedback, then everything is fine and then you don't have to worry about refactoring or messing up your code. So let's try my first example again so I can show you how easy that is to. So this time we'll have to add some libraries. I prefer to use XUnit, but we support XUnit, NUnit, MBUnit, MSTest, and stuff like that. So let's go to our example and Oops, I have to add it inside the repository. So this is all the actions libraries I just downloaded them yesterday. So this is the newest version, 1.7 or something. So if I just try to get rid of all this crap. Oops. Yeah, let's create a new. Oh, we have to start it first. Class library, and let's call it example.tests. And let's get rid of this default class. Just add the XUnit reference and the XUnit extensions. And then I'll add a reference to our web project because we have to test something, right? So this is a simple test project, and we're going to add a test class. Let's call it home controller test. And I guess we also have to add the MVC reference. I finished populating the list. Great. And now it's sorted by some obscure setting, so let's also try to sort it. Oh well, I just tried to copy the reference instead. I haven't used that for a while, but this doesn't seem to work. Well, that did the trick. Great. So let's also include the controller's namespace, and let's if just create a simple test method called index should return welcome, and say that the result of the controller index should be content result, and assert not null, and assert equal welcome result. So just going to set the fact attribute. Oops. Content. And then let's try to commit the stuff and push it to Apollo and see what it says. Because I'm pretty sure the index controller said something else. So let's add all the files. Let's just check how it went. This is the Git GUI, by the way, which is, I think, a nice way if you're just doing commits, because you can stage different files and it's easier to see. It's not the prettiest interface. It looks like something was made by a developer, not a designer, but it does the job and it works fine. So let's push to App Harbor. And this sometimes takes a while. Everything up to date. So apparently I forgot to commit. So that's more like it. Let's go to saw it and go back and check it out. Oops. So it's building the test project now, and oh, it failed. So not only will that hardware fail if you introduce a compile time error, but also if one of your tests will fail. So we can just go to the test windows and see that one out of one failed, and we can show eventual output and find out what's wrong. So it's expected welcome, and it's actually null. So the great thing about this is that you don't introduce an error which you already have solved with a test, so you don't have to remember to run the test on your local machine. It's nice if you do, because you'll be able to commit the stuff that works right immediately. But it's an extra security, and the thing how we were using this for App Harbor is that every time a user reports a bug or something, we'll write a test that avoids the bug, and we'll make sure that we never ship the same bug twice. So I think that's pretty cool. So, and yeah, let's just see if we can make it pass. Try to run it local. Oops. So it passed. Let's commit it and push it to App Harbor. That's actually not what I did, but you get the point. Succeeded, and then it's deployed. So yeah, that's a great example of how the test will actually prevent it from deploying something that has an error in it. So use testing, I guess. So as a final example, another thing we do is you can add a database to your app. We're going to offer support for MongoDB and CouchDB and different systems along the road as well. But right now you can choose between SQL Server and MySQL. And the thing with this is that if you just give it a connection string name and say default, then we're going to add a connection string with the name default. So once again, you can just configure it to your local environment, and once we deploy the code, then we'll switch the connection string and use the database we create for you. You get full access to your database. You can connect remotely. In fact, you could try as well if you're quick enough to enter this password before I change the way. But yeah, let's test that as well. I'll just make a new action called about. This is not best practice, but let's say that it should content configuration. The connection string. So the limitation currently is that you'll have to go through the web config and add the key, because we only replace it, we don't insert anything in the web config. So let's write something here. Let's go to bash again and commit the changes. And we should be able to go back to our application. And it's building. And it's deployed. So it says welcome, and if we home about, oops, abort, about. Oh, this is a great live demo, because there's actually something broken somewhere. Just see if I got the name right. Default. So apparently this is, I have to file a bug, and we'll have to look about this, and this is not great, because I have to use it for another demo, but I'll give it a try, even though it didn't work. So yeah, the next thing I'm going to tell you a little about is deploying with a push, because I think AppHarbor and the competitors for this product will end open new possibilities for open source projects. Instead of just offering a binary file support, you could just offer your repo in Mercurial or Git. You as a developer could clone that repository and push it instantly to AppHarbor and get free hosting. And you could just commit your changes to the product and push that as well. So instead of messing around with binary files and Xcopy deployments, then it should be possible to just set up an application simply and set up a database and get going with a site. So I made a blog example. This isn't actually MVC, but it's using Nancy, which I also love. So just try to spin it up. And the thing about this is that if the connection string injection worked, we could just go to AppHarbor, create a database, and after that we could just push the code and the block would be running instantly. We didn't have to change a single line of code, so setting up a block would literally be cloning the original repository and pushing to AppHarbor or another host. I just see if perhaps it's this one. Yeah, I guess it's the XAML, which is running already, and red hopefully worked. Oh boy, do I make errors today. So let's try to run the local instead and see if it works. And if it doesn't, I'll just try to push it to a new app and see if that one works, because it should. Yeah, it says welcome as well. Oh, and then if we change to that directory and we go to AppHarbor, create a new application, let's call it, oops, instant block. That's a good name, I think. And let's try to create a SQL server, and once again let's try the default and just check if it is the default we have to use. Yeah, it is, and current is running to localhost, so that shouldn't work in the environment. Whoops, that's created. It's important to create the database before pushing the app, because we only inject the connection string and the environment key in the build process. We don't do it if you add a database afterwards. So, and let's try to, I guess I have a remote already, so I'll just take a different approach and write git push URL and master. And we'll have to wait. But I can tell you this while we're waiting. The thing we're hoping for is that projects like nblog and FunnelWeb and a lot of Umbraco open source projects can be cloned from CodePlex or Google Code or GitHub and just pushed to AppHarbor with little to no effort to get them to run in our environment. So it should be easier to get started with a site. And now it should be building. Oops. refreshing. And it succeeded. Oh, let's see if it works then. At least it doesn't fail, so that's a good thing, I guess. Let's try to add a new post and call it MBCConf. This is just something random. Oh, so yeah, I have to fix an error right after this this talk is over, but I hope you get the picture, and we could try to insert the connection string manually to see it that it actually works. This is beta stuff, by the way, so please tell us if you're going to host anything production yet, because then we'll move you to some special servers, which is all secure and which we don't tamper around with. So I'm on the latest development right now, which I perhaps shouldn't be. So. I guess once you use that PAPA, you actually get to love setting up the SSH key, so you don't have to type your password all over. So let's go back to the login. It's building. Succeeded. And deployed. Apparently my block doesn't work, so I guess that's the issue. I'll push the sources to GitHub after this talk, and then I'll make sure it works also when you guys have tried out. So I guess this is it for the talk. So I see there's some questions, so let me try to answer those. Oh, how to migrate DB changes? Can you use Tarantino or something similar? And I should show how this is made in the blog, because this is something I have integrated. I used Fluent Migrator, and I've just made a simple post repository, which on the when it's spin up checks is, oh, it has migrated, and if it hasn't, then migrate with the injected connection string. So this is one approach to it. For App Harbor, we use in Hibernate, and in Hibernate has a schema update command, which we then execute. So we're going to integrate with different frameworks and see how that works. But you can place something in your global ASX and make it sure it only runs a single time. So, but it's a thing we will have to address. The common issue right now is that most .NET people don't seem to use the same framework. So we'll have to figure out how to support them all. Yeah, and also met database changes, I guess that's the same question. Are there any details on fault tolerance, failure redundancy, performance, etc. for running instances? We haven't published how the performance is currently, but it's going to be half a compute unit of EC2. We run on the Amazon infrastructure, so we have easy scaling and managing instances. For redundancy, you'll have to purchase an extra instance for your app, but if we're going to install updates on a single instance, we'll transfer your app to another server before doing so. So you shouldn't experience any downtime, except if a server goes down, which I guess all servers eventually do. We'll make sure to blog more about it when everything is final and we can tell people how it works. So do you have to configure anything special for your unit test to run on the App Harbor side? No, in fact, you don't. If you use one of the support framework, we'll just we'll look in the assemblies and find out if the references some of the frameworks we know, and if they do that, we'll run the test. Another thing about the environment key, which I showed, is that if the environment key is is present in the test project, we'll change it to test, so you can also do some special configuration for your tests. So, yes, there's a new question coming in. If people could use web config transformation instead of environment, currently we don't support that, but we're looking to support it because, yeah, it's the default with new template projects, so a lot of people will probably use it. Does the test runner support things like waiting test? Not currently, but it's a good question, and it's a really nice feature suggestion because we'd like to be able to spin up a temporary website once in the test process, and when we test, we could inject the local host and the port number to use as well. So guys, no more questions. OpenWrap support coming. Yes, OpenWrap support is coming. Loved your talk, by the way. And I guess this is it. I'll be on the channel as well if people ask anything or need anything. Does the DB support SQL servers, Broker? I'm afraid I'm not the SQL server guy, so I'll have to ask one of my co-founders on that one. Currently, we do try to promote our MySQL offering because the MySQL offering is fully redundant already, and it's completely hosted and it's much simpler to maintain for us. So, you can choose either of those though. So, we don't really just about what people should be using. Yeah, great. Oh, could you? Could you expand a little on that? Do you mean any Visual Studio plugin, or I guess we are going to introduce a Visual Studio plugin at some time. I myself prefer work integrating with the Git workflow and the version control because it's a more secure option, because you have to commit the changes you're interested in pushing. You don't accidentally change a line in Visual Studio and get to deploy that. So. We will support it at some point. It's not our top priority. We have to. We're only three people right now, so we have to focus on what we're going to use our resources on.